I'm Hamza Aziz, the producer of the Talking with Docs podcast. You might know Talking with Docs from their popular YouTube channel. If you live in Ontario, here's everything you need to know about cervical cancer screening.
Want to know about the latest screening for cervical cancer? Well, we have a guest here. I'm Dr. Paul Salza.
I'm Dr. Brad Weening. Welcome to Talking with Docs. And our guest?
Dr. Tiffany Zegras.
Now, if you're new to Talking with Docs, we usually, are just couple of docs talking about different topics, but occasionally we do have really smart people on the show, and this is one of those days. So Doctor is going to talk to us about screening for cervical cancer. What's the deal?
Right, so I'm really excited to share with you that in Ontario we're going to be launching primary HPV testing. This has become very common worldwide in countries like Australia and the US, but now in Ontario we're going to have primary HPV testing as the main way that we're going to screen people for cervical cancer.
Let's go Ontario. Okay, how does this screening work?
So actually, it's pretty much like how you had your pap smear done in the past. So a speculum needs to be placed inside the vagina, the cervix needs to be visualized by a healthcare provider, and then a swab is taken at the cervix. That's to collect the virus cells, but also the abnormal cells that might be on the cervix. And so once we do the HPV test, if it's positive for HPV virus, then a reflex pap smear will be done on that same sample so that we can help understand if people are at high risk or low risk and if they need any treatment or any further tests.
Wow.
So when this is done, do you ever look at the cells or is it always a pathologist?
It's always a pathologist who looks at it.
So the pathologist looks at it, then comes back, so in real time, so the patient goes home.
Yeah.
You get the results. And what kind of period of time are we talking about typically?
Usually about 2 to 4 weeks somebody will get the results back.
Okay. So the turnaround is not super fast, and that's because it's not necessary to be super fast. And
that's
the tests take a long time to do.
Yep.
So then the results come back to you. You contact your patient, and then either by phone or in person, I'm assuming.
That's right.
Sit down and you have a chat and then talk about the next steps.
The results, yes. So
if
the HPV test is negative, then that person is at very, very low risk for developing cervical cancer over the next 5 years.
Yep.
And so the recommendation is to repeat that test in 5 years.
Okay.
That's a difference from in the past. Actually, many, many years ago, people used to get a pap smear even every year.
Right.
Then we realized it was safe that we could do it every 3 years. And now with the HPV test, because it's actually a much better test than the cytology or pap smear alone, we can do it every 5 years if that test is negative.
Okay, and this screening program is based on the robust link between the HPV, the human papilloma virus, and cervical cancer.
That's right. Actually, 99% of all cervical cancers are linked to HPV virus.
Okay, so that's really weird if you thought about cancer before, because now you're thinking of cancer as an infectious disease almost.
That's right.
In terms of, in this situation, because without that virus, if you never caught that virus, if you're never exposed to that virus, the chance of you getting cervical cancer is so low to if you have been exposed. Isn't that weird?
It is. Yeah. It's wild. And it's crazy how our bodies can often fight this infection.
That's right.
So this test, the diagnostic test, does not necessarily mean you've never had an infection.
That's right.
It means that you do not have abnormal cells in a specific location.
You don't have the virus present right now.
Right.
Now, the HPV virus can be a bit tricky. It can lay dormant for many, many years. So you might have the test and it might be negative today, but maybe 15 years from now, you get tested again and it's positive.
Right.
And that's because our immune system has a role in keeping the virus in check.
Right.
So sometimes as we age or if we become immunosuppressed, then we maybe don't have as much ability to keep that virus dormant.
And thankfully, because this cancer, I'm assuming, is slow growing, that's what allows us to estimate these guidelines and say, well, if you're good, we can wait 5 years.
That's
because even if it does change or you get an infection in the interim, it's not going to be so advanced that it's not a treatable problem.
That's right. So usually it takes somewhere between 10 to 20 years from the time that you have the virus to when you develop even a precancer or a cervical cancer to arise. So it really has a very long lag time from infection to actually having an issue on your cervix.
Okay. So just ballpark numbers, I guess it varies region to region, but what is the incidence of HPV infection in the general population? And then what percentage of people who have HPV virus go on to get cancer?
Those are fantastic questions. So the reality is, if you have ever been sexually active in your life, you've probably seen the HPV virus in
it's
your
ubiquitous.
Body.
It's ubiquitous.
It's basically anyone who's been sexually active, honestly. However, it's just a select few people, maybe around 10%, that have a persistent infection that can't clear it on their own.
Okay.
So to Paul's point, most people do clear the virus on their own, and that usually takes somewhere between 1 to 2 years. Okay. But for some people, it's a persistent infection. Oh. And in that percentage of people, there's a select few, let's say maybe about 3% of those people who have a persistent infection will go on to have some kind of a precancerous lesion on the cervix or develop a cervical cancer. So okay. It's actually a very small number. So just to give you an idea of like the magnitude of the issue, in Canada, about 1,400 people have cervical cancer diagnosed each year,
right.
And about 400 people die of it. Okay. Now, that's because we have such a robust screening program in Canada.
Right.
However, in countries where they don't have good screening programs, unfortunately, the incidence of cervical cancer is very high. And actually, worldwide, it's the fourth most high cancer in women.
Right.
Wow. Worldwide.
That's significant. And if you're watching in the U.S., usually take our Canadian numbers and times them by 10.
Yeah.
Just because of the population.
That's right.
Now, does the screening pick up only if you're active infection, you can't fight it off, or does it pick up if you were ever exposed to it?
It just picks up an active infection.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, not if you were ever exposed.
All right.
That's right.
And then so specifically for the new guidelines that are coming here in Ontario in March of 2025, when you go to your family doctor, you don't have to do anything specific, but the doctors are going to know about this, and then this
100%.
Will be rolled out.
Yes.
And then is it something that people will opt in and out of, or not really?
Theoretically, you could. It's always an individual's choice
right.
to have a test done or a screening test. So we are part of an organized screening program here in Ontario. And what that means is we try to maximize the benefits of screening and minimize the harms of screening because we know that there are harms from screening, right? We pick up some abnormal tests and we cause people to worry unnecessarily.
False positives.
Right. And so there are times where people will need to come into colposcopy. That's where I am in the colposcopy clinic. And that's where we take kind of it's almost like a scope of some sort, like a magnifying lens that we look at the cervix really close up so we can see in real time if there are abnormal cells on the cervix, and we take a biopsy. So it's a much more specific test. Compared to just
like a pap smear is almost like a superficial biopsy, and then you're doing like, is it a cone?
We would just look and do a biopsy if needed, and then if somebody does have abnormal cells that need treatment, then we would do a LEAP or a cone biopsy where we take a much bigger piece of the cervix and that treats it and has much more bigger piece of tissue to be sent and looked at under the microscope, make sure there's no cancer, things like that. Okay. Sometimes we do pick up microscopic cancers, and if we do pick them up, we're actually quite happy we've picked them up so early, because the earlier we find that cervical cancer, obviously the better the patient does. So that's the whole goal of screening programs, is to kind of pick these things up as early as possible and really prevent any major harm from an advanced cancer.
So you might want to check in your area, is this a screening program available to you?
Yeah.
It is available, you were saying, in Canada, some provinces have it already.
Yeah.
And
so, and just to the point about, you know, can you opt in or out? So most people will be offered this by their family doctor. And for most people, it's going to be a speculum exam. But in some provinces, for example, in British Columbia, they went forward with self-screening.
Okay.
So you can have actually a mailed kit to your house, and you can, a bit like when we were in COVID and you swabbed your nose, this time you're going to place the swab inside the vagina.
Okay.
Now that won't pick up abnormal cells, but it does pick up the virus.
Oh, okay.
And so then that test can be mailed back to the lab and can be checked for the virus.
Then you decide.
And then you might still need the cervical exam, the speculum exam with a healthcare provider.
Right.
You might still need that as the next test, but if it's negative, actually the reproducibility of the self-collected test versus a doctor-collected test is very, very good.
Amazing. Mm-hmm.
Don't get those swabs mixed up in BC. Make sure label those bad boys.
And do this.
Okay.
That's low-hanging fruit.
That's a public service announcement.
In some places, if your doctor's office doesn't offer the self-swab, sometimes you can actually order a kit online.
Right.
In Ontario, it's outside of our cervical screening program.
Got it.
We're looking at introducing self-sampling, but it's not going to happen on March 3rd when we launch the HPV test. It might come a little bit later.
Okay.
So it's definitely something that we're interested in, we're looking at. But for people that are interested, you might want to look online. Some labs do offer the test as a self-pay option.
Okay, so very exciting news, new screening guidelines coming to Ontario and tests that are going to be available as well as likely throughout some other parts of the world. Now you know. If you like this video, please like it, subscribe to our channel, talk to your family doctor or healthcare practitioner about this.
And remember, you are in charge of your own health.
Now, thanks to our guests. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
We'll see you next time.